Hello, and thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BikeRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.BikeRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Susie Sanchez, and she is author of The Dream Lived, a memoir. As children, we are taught to dream big. We're encouraged to shoot for the moon and to reach for the stars. Anything is possible. So why should adulthood be any different? In her memoir, A Dream Lived, Susie captures the essence of life through the pursuit of a dream. Defying all odds, Susie, a lifelong dancer, perseveres through the trials and tribulations of balancing family life with dance life as she dreams of performing on a grander scale. Whether she's teaching dance to neighborhood children, helping raise her granddaughter, or achieving success as a professional cheerleader in the NFL, Susie embraces each and every experience and aspires to positively impact everyone she meets throughout her incredible journey. Through the best of times and the worst of times, Susie's heartfelt account leaves you wondering what's stopping you from chasing after, achieving, and living your dreams. For more information, you can visit Susie's website, which is at about.me/Susie.Sanchez. And I do have a direct link to that website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Susie to the show. Good day, Susie.
Hi, Robert. Thank you for having me today.
It is my pleasure. I'm always happy to have inspiring stories, and your story certainly falls into that category.
Yes, it certainly does, and I'm privileged to be with you and your guests today. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, you know, let's first of all start, if you wouldn't mind, you know, I gave a little bit of an introduction about your background. Would you mind sharing a little bit more with the listeners about your journey so far and, you know, and what kind of led you up to the decision to write a memoir?
Well, you know, as my book points out, Robert, it's this far in my life, it's really my life story. And I like to tell a lot of different folks that I think we all have a life story if we ever just sit down and recap from our childhood different directions and arenas maybe we've gone through life. And so last year in May when I said I'm going to sit down and write The Dream Lived, it was really just sitting back and walking through my childhood. And for me, it was becoming a professional dancer, quite older in life. But it all, again, starts from our childhood, and it's great to stop, take a moment, and pencil in our journey from the beginning, and that's what I've done with The Dream Lived.
Yeah. Now, you know, so the dream that you refer to in the title, that dream was the professional dancer? Was that the – or does it encompass a bigger dream?
Well, it pretty much is becoming a professional dancer and just all the other amazing achievements I've done throughout my life, getting married, having children. But mainly it is about dancing. I began dancing when I was 8 years old, and you always have that big vision of where you want to go in your future and what it is you want to do. And then a lot of times life throws you off track and you don't continue that path. And so later in my life, I was able to journey back in my early 30s and think, how as a mother, how as a wife, could I capture that childhood dream? And I listened to my inner voice, and I started taking dance classes again. And necessarily being a professional cheerleader wasn't what my childhood dream was, but it was being that professional dancer. And how could I do that in the Bay Area? How could I do that and still have children and work full time? And it's one of those things. You never know if it's actually going to happen, but half the fun and half the journey is just trying, and that's what my book explains a lot.
Yeah, you know, and that is so true. You know, I noticed one of the chapters in your book is called Life Happens, you know, and it seems to me that so often people who have had dreams, you know, or, you know, either childhood dreams or even, you know, in their 20s when they, you know, exit college and, you know, this is what my life is going to be. A lot of times, you know, life does seem to throw a few detours along the way.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's, I credit in my book quite often is continuing to listen to what I call that inner voice, your conscience, just if you're still dreaming it. I mean, there were times I was still dreaming of being on the stage, and it's like, this isn't going away. I need to act upon it. And whether it happens or not, just acting upon a moment and trying for something is so empowering. And you don't really realize it in the moment of doing it until after you've achieved it. Like, wow, how inspirational was that? That what, you know, what I just did.
Yeah. So now you started this later. You know, you said later in life. What was the reaction of those in your circle, friends, family, and that kind of thing, when to your idea to pursue that?
Yeah, you know, I think they, you know, my family, my parents, my husband, they were excited for me. I think at times they thought I was crazy a little bit, like, you know,
uh-huh.
you know, why would you want to walk back into this arena or at least even walk into this arena of, you know, girls almost half your age at this point, right? And, but that never stopped me. That if I felt I didn't have the appearance or the skill, of course, I probably wouldn't have been out at these auditions, but I thought, you know what, if I don't try, I'm never going to know. And a big piece of my book is talking about that what if. I'm one of those that can't maybe not show up to something and the next day wonder, could I have had a chance? And unless you go out there and try anything, you're going to be left with that what if thought in everything in life. So They were very much supportive, and it took me 5 years to make the team I made in Oakland, which that part of my story really talks about just the perseverance and never giving up once you are, you know, starting to head down any given path. And I just, like I say, I just continue to listen to my inner voice, and through fate, God, call it what you want, I knew at some point it was going to happen. I stayed true to myself and kept believing.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's good. You know, and I think, you know, for many people, the, you know, like that peer kind of reaction, you know, are you crazy? You know, I mean, I think that really sometimes, you know, prevents people. You know, I mean, sometimes people, I guess, learn or seem to listen to voices outside themselves more strongly than that inner voice that you followed.
Interesting. Yeah, you're right. And,
yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of my encouragement, when I would show up to these auditions in the two different teams here in the Bay Area, I would have a lot of the other dancers in just general discussion with them when, you know, we're standing in line and preparing for, let's say, the routine. And we each all start talking about what we do and what we come from. And it's like, oh, yeah, I have 3 kids at home. And it's the looks on their faces like, what? You know, and so I got a lot of positive kind of remarks, and I just felt like I fit in with them. I wasn't this, you know, oddball standing out within the scene. I was mixing well, and there were many times I would leave an audition, and some of the girls, as well as myself, might be upset at the outcome, and I took that bigger role almost as mom, like, it's okay, don't give up, they'll do this again next year, you know, so I was able to play two parts of that moment, coming in with, you know, the dancer that might not have made it that year, but also the wisdom woman of, hey, it's okay, you know, keep your chin up, try a little harder, and be out here next year. I will be, you know. So
yeah,
there was a lot of bonus.
Wow.
There was a lot of benefit.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, to me, that would have been just a real interesting situation, you know, to be in. I mean, you know, there are right now, you know, I think there are a lot of people who who maybe want to go back to college. You know, I mean, to me, that's like, you know, one of those kinds of things where, you know, some people are, you know, going to, you know, it, I mean, and to me, I mean, I'm in my late 50s, you know, the idea every now and then of, you know, going to take a course in something that just, you know, fascinates me, you know, all of a sudden that, you know, the first thing that pops up is like, oh my God, you know, there are kids that could be not only kids, but even grandkids, you know, that would be you know, in the peer group. And, you know, and what would that be like? And I'm sure a lot of that is self, imposed kind of thinking.
Yeah.
But you know, from
what
you're saying,
so Robert, it's mm-hmm. remarkable. It's remarkable. I mean, truly, when you can walk in, because I went back to the college I'd last taken a dance course at, and you know, here I am 11 plus years later walking into that same dance room saying, okay, I'm going to start doing this again. And my same dance teacher was still teaching at the college and seeing the youth around me and knowing, oh, shoot, I'm that older woman amongst this now. It's actually a remarkable feeling because you're stepping back in time to some degree, but you're so much wiser and you have so much life skill behind you. And it's an empowerment moment. I would encourage anyone to go to go there.
Well, good. Well, that's good. You know, that was one of the things I had hoped, you know, from chatting with you today, you know, that the listeners would get from today's show, is that if there is any type of hesitation, you know, that would be alleviated, and maybe people would get a different perspective on what it would be like, you know, to, you know, pursue whatever, you know, the dream is, or even if it's for their education.
Yes, absolutely. And I talk about that quite a bit in the book of whatever the dream is, the bucket list. You know, for me, it was a childhood thing that I wanted to do. Whatever that it is, don't think that age or status or, okay, I was a wife, mother, and then, shoot, the year I made team, I was actually a grandmother. It still wasn't stopping me. Don't let all those inner voices of negativity get in front of pursuing it, because it's really is magical. It really is.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, the idea when you went in pursuit of, I'm just wondering, did you pursue that? You pursued it at a younger age, and then also, you know, you know, dance when you were, and then you said you went back 11 years later. What was the, you know, you talked about kind of added wisdom. What was the maybe the additional components, you know, to, you know, when you went back and started, you know, because when we talked about life happens, it's kind of like in between mm-hmm. when you first started dancing and then you went back to it, you know, life happened in the middle. So was that life that happened in the middle, do you find that that was kind of vital, of vital importance? And how did that play into, you know, how you pursued things the second time around?
That's a great question. So when I mentioned in title there, life happens, for most of us and all of us, it's I got married, I began to have children. Had three children, and it was after my third child was born, Bobby, that the dreams started coming back. This is about 10 years later, subconsciously, of, I'm still on stage. I've never, even though I've not done this in 11 years, I'm missing this in my mind. And I battled with it for a while of, oh, I'm silly. I could never think to take a dance class again. I'm a mom now. I work full-time. I have children. You know, you instantly kind of, people in general, I think mothers in particular, we drop a lot of things on our own list when we have children. And it continued to play stronger and stronger in my mind. And I said, you know what, I'm gonna try this. And again, having the support of my husband saying, hey, go back to a dance class. Go take a college course in dance again. He was thrilled. I think he was very surprised. But he was thrilled with, you know, if that's what you need to do to feel an internal fulfillment, go for it. And then, you know, a year or so later, then walking into the bigger picture of trying out for NFL teams. But my biggest message there in regards to my children through this entire experience is they got to see mom, who is the most important person in their eyes, A, show up to something and try, but B, to see failure and how I handled every year coming home and how, you know, I was empowering in them. It's okay to feel failure, to have the look of failure, but watch how I'm going to spin it and I'm going to try it again next year. Or maybe I'm going to say, oh, I'm done now, right? Whatever the reaction is. But I was paying it forward to my children of what I hope they will do with their life as they move forward. And again, those are the things you don't realize you're doing by setting your own goals and dreams in life.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that is such a good point, you know, to bring up because, you know, those are things that, those are life experiences that will last forever, you know, in your children and kind of help guide them when they're met with, you know, apparent failure and that,
right.
that kind of thing. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, particularly with women, you know, that quite often the dreams or the goals kind of get, you know, pushed aside or take second fiddle, you know, to particularly when,
right.
when there's a, you know, family. And, you know, so right now, I mean, with women out there, you know, that are kind of right, you know, in that mode and questioning, you know, whether or not to do their dreams, you tell them to go for it, to just, and to really kind of even use that as an example to help guide their children?
Oh, absolutely, Robert. I mean, that's my biggest message of why the book's out, is paying the message forward now. Absolutely. It's, you know, again, hoping they have the support of their family and their friends of, you know, maybe playing the piano or taking up gardening or, you know, my dream is kind of big and a little out there. but I still went for it, right? But there's smaller things that I think a lot of women, you know, push aside or give up on. And rightfully, then they put that attention to their children, which, of course, I did. But why can't we have both? And that's what I think I demonstrated. I can watch them go play basketball, soccer, and have that a huge high of what my kids are doing. But guess what? I can show up to that soccer practice because I just danced 2 hours, and I feel just as great. We can do it all.
Yeah.
We can bonus everything, I feel. And I'm in a huge movement for that. I'm in a huge movement of just getting ladies out there that just don't think they can, to let them know they can. And my final year, like I said, we had obstacles come across. My daughter had a child at 16. It didn't stop me. Now I'm a grandmother, you know, status quo, call it what you want, but I'm still gonna go live that dream.
Wow. Yeah, that would have that would have been a curveball for sure. Well, so, you know, and I guess, you know, one of the important messages is that, you know, when you say have it all, you know, there's, you know, I watch often that kind of plays out in the media, the whole volley that goes back and forth between, you know, for women, you know, having it all, work and home and, you know, and, you know, then you throw in, you know, a desire of a dream. I mean, because not often, but, you know, there are times that work isn't really necessarily in the dream category, you know.
So it's
kind of like, you know, it's kind of like you're throwing in a third major component, you know, but from what you're saying, for you, it was, you kind of worked it in where it became part of the whole dynamic, the whole family dynamic, you know. In other words, it became like a teaching lesson for the children, you know, as well as you going after that dream.
It is. And again, at the time, you know, those 4 or 5 years trying out for these teams, you didn't see the lesson, right? You don't see that path and journey until last year when I sat and wrote it in my book. And that's the magical part of writing a book, is you then get to go back and go, wow, that was actually a pretty pivotal moment. And you didn't realize it at the moment you're walking it or journeying the journey. But yeah, my work week, the year I finally made team in Oakland, I was working 40 hours a week, and then commuting up to Oakland three times a week and then game days on Sunday. So I easily had an 80-hour work week. And would come home, you know, late at night, had a very supportive family life with my husband, you know, helping out with the children in the evening hours on the days I was in Oakland. But again, when you're given that once-in-a-lifetime moment, you just have the strength and you just do it. You just make it happen. You really do.
Yeah. So now, take us kind of back to the time when, you know, you first tried out. And you got the rejection. Can you take kind of maybe bring us back to that particular point in time and you know the emotions that you went through and then your thought process as far as not letting that stop you?
Sure. So my first audition was in 2006. I had walked back into the dance arena at the college. I think it was 2004, and. Literally at my local gym one day, I thought, how could I, you know, do the big Broadway scene here in California? What kind of venue? And the two NFL teams, the 49ers and the Oakland Raiders, came to my mind. I logged on for their website, and it was first the Gold Rush. The 49ers had their auditions that I think it was that March. And I went to my old dance studio where I first learned everything I knew. And Lana, my dance teacher, had a dance shop with clothing items. And I said, hey, I'm going to go audition for the Gold Rush. And she kind of chuckled about it, like, what? And I said, yeah, I'm actually going to go do this. And I think she was really proud of me, but just very surprised. And I did. I showed up that day knowing absolutely nothing about the process. And I never felt the fear. I was more curious. I just needed to learn, okay, what's going to happen here? And I made it that day, actually, through quite a few of the different cuts that go on through the dance portion of the day. And when my number was cut at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's a heart-wrenched feeling, but there's 400 other girls trying for that same spot of, you know, 32 to 40 women team. So what's the probability, right? And when I left that day, it was, okay, I know what I need to do now. I know what I need to build upon. I've seen this. I can walk away now not having the what-if thought, as if I'd never showed up to that audition that day. And a few weeks later, the Oakland Raiders conducted their audition, and the same results there. And so every year, come January, I would just prepare, and I would get ready to go show up to either of these two teams. And I felt in 2007 and in 2008, the Oakland Raiders were starting to notice me. I made it to their finals category in those two seasons. And I think a lot of it for some of these teams is the dedication and the willingness of, you know, continuing to see these women come back and back each season. And definitely I wasn't getting any younger this process. And yeah, so, but it was it. That, I mean, 2011, the year I became a grandmother, that was definitely my last try in Oakland. And I honestly didn't think I would make it that year either. But again, God works in mysterious ways, and that was the year I made team.
Yeah, wow. You know, I think, you know, I mean, just listening to that, you know, that aspect, you know, the whole idea of, you know, seeing you come back and back, to me, you know, that is really one of the important lessons, you know, so to speak, you know, that whole perseverance aspect that you indicated,
yeah.
That by doing that, you know, you really kind of demonstrate not only to yourself, but to others who are the decision makers, you know, that is truly a desire of yours, and you will work at it, you know, and do what you can to make it work.
Right. One of my quotes I put in my book, and probably the favorite quote I've ever read, is the difference between the impossible and the possible lies in one's determination.
Oh,
by Tommy Lasorda.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest message there is to deliver. And when you can walk that thought and live that life, I feel anybody could do anything they want in life. I really do.
Yeah, I agree. And it is, you know, and one of the things, though, I've really just witnessed so often is, you know, fear. You know, when you talked, you mentioned when you, you know, went to that first tryout, you know, that there really wasn't fear, but it was more of a curiosity. You know, to me, that's amazing, you know, because I don't know. I've just encountered so many people who have stopped, who have not pursued anything that they thought may be good for them, you know, out of fear of a failure or fear of the unknown, you know, so many things that prevents people from just, you know, exploring what the possibilities are.
Right. I think my fear, if I was going to say where my fear would lie, is, sure, you get the fear of rejection. You get the rejection every year when you're told no. But my bigger fear would have been if I hadn't showed up, let's say, to an audition that I really wanted to go to that next day or the days ahead to see, oh, shoot, what if I would have showed up? I'm all about this what-if thought, and I wouldn't feel right or live well within myself. But if I show up and don't make it, that's one thing. But if I never show up, I would never know. And that's the place with many things in my life, I don't want to live in that gray, black towards white.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can appreciate that. That's one of those things where I think many people, you know, when they get even toward, you know, the end of the life, you know, they run through the whole series of what ifs. What if I had done this? What if I had done that? And, and it's, you know, by taking action, you kind of avoid encountering that later in life.
You do, and you don't know what the outcome's going to be, good or bad, but at least you have an outcome, right? There's closure or there's an answer, good or bad. So my final audition after the year I was with the Raiders, I didn't make it back on the team the following season, and then in 2013 I said, okay, I think we're done here. I think I'm hitting almost 40 and I'm going to be done with all this professional dancing. But again, I had that one last big thought in my mind of go try out for the Dallas Cowboy cheer team. Go for the big league. You know, it's kind of a bucket list amongst a lot of professional cheerleaders is to at least go to that arena, see what that huge audition process is like. And so I did. I think it was May of 2013, I flew out to Dallas again with my family's support. Who knows what that scene would have looked like should I have made that team. But again, you only journey moment by moment. You don't try to forecast it too far ahead in your mind or you'll never, you know, show up to the different auditions. And I didn't make it that year, but again, I ended this whole entire journey since 2006 my way. I really got to walk the whole path my way, again, not knowing at all that this is what I was going to do for those 7 years, but it was pretty remarkable, and it's been a really amazing, amazing ride.
Yeah, absolutely, which was actually one of the titles in your book, or one of the chapters, An Amazing Ride. But, gosh, Susie, we're halfway through the show, so we're kind of zipping right along. So I want to take just a quick couple-minute break and invite anyone, if you're listening and you would like to call in and ask Susie any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. Also, if you're listening live in the chat room and would like for me to pose a question to Susie, feel free to type it in and I will pass it on to her. So everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
Hi, it's Maya at Mind Over Matter in Nyack, New York. I'd just like to take a moment to share with you how amazing I found Robert Sharpe's book, Joy Potential. It kind of found me at a time when I was feeling out of sorts and overwhelmed and I guess derailed by the pressures of my career and my large family and caregiving and ailing husband. I just really felt like my spark was dimming. It was a perfect time for me to pick up Joy Potential. Because as I, just in the first few pages, began to read, I found that my frame of mind wasn't so different from others dealing with challenges and the trials and tribulations of life. I guess my first feeling was that I wasn't alone. And with that, I began to open more to receive the message that Robert gave of light and love and positive thinking. That's what Joy Potential is all about. His thoughts are beautifully written, and everyone, whether you're going through your own personal challenges, should read it. his message was certainly well received from me, and I'm thankful for his insight and his caring and really helping me to get back on track. I think everyone should put Joy Potential on the top of their reading list. Love and light. Thank you.
Join Maya and discover that you are not alone and that a world of joy awaits you. To get your copy of Joy Potential, visit www.joybook.me. Buy it, read it, and start living a life that's happier, more peaceful, and one where you maximize the joy potential that life has to offer. Again, visit www.joybook.me. That's joybook.me now.
This is Roy Worley at mysticalship.com. R.T. Sharp has done it again. His new book, It's No Secret, Spirituality Bites, with BITE, B-I-T-E, being an acronym for Bringing Inspiration to Earth, has once again hit a home run. Unlike R.P. Sharp's first book, Joy Potential, which was a uniquely original story containing a message of hope and inspiration for everyone regardless of where they happen to be on their personal spiritual path, It's No Secret is a compilation of awareness, insights, guidance, and wisdom that can help anyone navigate through their lives on a daily basis. It's No Secret also contains resources and references that enable a person to find expanded information on a variety of issues that affect all of us. Order It's No Secret today. I guarantee it will be a valuable resource for help with whatever your needs are.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Susie Sanchez, and she is author of The Dream Lived, a memoir. And you can find out more about Susie by visiting her website, which is at about.me/Susie.Sanchez. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So it's coming up to the holiday. So if you've got that special lady in your life who has a dream, get Susie's book for her, and it'll help inspire her to follow her dream. So we're back, Susie.
Great, Robert. Thank you again for having me today. I appreciate it.
It is my pleasure. In your book, there's one section that you called Forever Moments. And you kind of talk about very kind of special moments that happen. You talk about a first preseason game, a game opener. And then one of them, I'd like to talk about just a couple of them. One of them was the passing of a legend. Would you mind sharing with the listeners what that forever moment was?
So the forever moment was the pivotal moments while I was on team in Oakland. Yeah, so I talk about,
okay,
like you said, the preseason and the passing of a legend. That was Al Davis. I was on team the year he passed in 2011. So it was very emotional. And again, you make the team. I've tried out all 5 years, and it happens to be the year I made the team. 2011-2012 was also very emotional, spiritual moment there within the organization. So I was very privileged and very proud to have been a dancer on his team that season.
Yeah. I mean, just to have it, I mean, the synchronicity of you know, for 4 tries, you know, 4 years not getting there, and then to be there during that particular moment. I mean, it had to have been, you know, that one, like one moment in time, you know, and it's kind of like you were there to experience that.
Yeah, and it was, and the actual, and I don't really go in depth in my book on that particular day, but we, the Raiderettes, we actually had practice that morning, and we were at headquarters, and we heard the news via our director as it was breaking all over the news stations, and we all cried, and it was very emotional, and then it was, okay, ladies, get your things, and let's go practice on the field, and I still think about that moment often. It was a very, very cold October morning, very cold. And we usually run 2 laps around the football practice arenas there. And I don't think there was one dry eye, you know, and that practice was very quiet, and it was respected, and it was just honored, I think, by every one of us. and as was that following game and the shirt we got to wear at one of the games. It was touching. I mean, it's amazing to be on any of these teams at any given season, but for this particular team with that huge of an icon, legend, it's something I will always take very, very close to my heart, and I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, you know, it seems that, you know, when we're kind of, you know, following our dream, that we end up having those forever moments, you know, those pivotal times that, you know, kind of stick with us and actually really kind of also shape who we are and what we do from that moment on.
Absolutely. And you said it exactly. Is you don't realize that small things or the iconic moments that will hit as you're going through the process. In my book, I don't talk much about it, but I made national headlines sometime in July of that year when the media world learned about a grandmother, quote-unquote, on an NFL cheer team. And, okay, and the real story is I've been trying this for 4 years now. I just happened to be a grandmother this particular year, you know, so they're just capturing the headline segment more or less. But, you know, it got national attention. I'm hoping just through the season I was able to inspire and bring hope to others to, hey, who's this lady out there living a dream? I'm going to kind of go and do it too, you know. I didn't realize at that point I was going to write The Dream Lived. It wasn't until I got back from Dallas that I said, you know, I'm going to finally sit down and journal all this and put it in a book format to help motivate and bring hope to others.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's it. You know, like you say, quite often as we're going through life, we don't necessarily realize at that moment how important or significant a particular moment will be. But, you know, but as we, you know, continue through and see exactly the impact that it has had on others, kind of really gives more meaning and depth, you know, to that experience. So
absolutely.
We want to create as many of those forever moments as we can, correct?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, you know, also one of those during that particular time was charity work, you know, and I'm really curious about that because, you know, so often we get focused on ourselves, you know, and managing our lives that quite often we just don't give as much attention to charity. So I would love to know exactly how that fit in for you.
Well, and that's the beautiful part. With the professional cheerleading organizations and many organizations at the different levels with dance teams and cheer teams and such, is you participate in and or are required, call it what you want, but you get to be in the community. You get to be involved. And there's no greater feeling. I mean, I could list forever the different charity events that I was a part of. The one that stands out in my heart the most was working at Stanford with the children that are very, very ill through the Ronald McDonald Children's House. And two different occasions I got to work up there. And, you know, the day we think we all have a bad day or we're having a hard day, I just stop and I just put myself right back in that Ronald McDonald House and it's done. You know, those kids, they're fighting, and those families, they're battling, and they're just such a unit, and they're so strong and positive, and talk about seeing inspiration. I mean, right there, just staring right back at you. We're able to do a lot of charity work. I still like to get out there and help others, and just be a listener. Sometimes it's just to listen to people and provide a shoulder, and just do that good deed because you don't realize you doing something might pay it forward for them to help someone else as well.
Yeah, that's very. I try to be very, you know, conscious of that too. You know, as the day goes on, you know, any time that I can do that, even like you say, even if it's just opening the door for someone, or just making someone laugh, you know, or just be a good friend and listen, you know, when someone's having a challenging moment. So,
yeah. And I think writing the book was very inspirational for me too, because I was able to, you know, hand deliver the book the Dream Live to quite a few folks that had impacted me throughout my journey that had no idea that I was writing about them via my book, that actually have name spots in my book. It's, hey, I just wrote a book and it's published and I'm handing this to you now because somewhere in my life you made an impact. And wow. Those are moments and discussions with those few folks that I'll never forget, because, you know, I'm sharing with them and then letting them share with their world that they made an impact in my life. Yeah, it's pretty powerful.
Well, you know, that's wonderful, to be able to do that, especially, if these people did not have any idea that you were doing that or mm-hmm. didn't realize, that they had such an impact. And, and that's such a wonderful gift because I think everyone is really searching for it and hoping, for that little reason of, why I'm here, what, did I make a difference and what exactly was that difference that I made?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's remarkable. It's remarkable on both ends. It's remarkable handing someone the book and looking them and having the coffee discussion with them, but also just watching them receive it and honoring themselves in that moment. Like, wow.
Yeah.
On what page?
Yeah.
And, and I always would have a bookmark to the page that maybe I mentioned them, right?
Yeah.
And we just need more of this kind of behavior and molding in the world for our generation and then also for the generations ahead.
Yeah. Well, I have to share. I have the first book I did is called Joy Potential. And in it, it was mainly a story kind of written around some of the actual one of my guests in Australia called, it was like his book, he had facts but created the story around it. He called it Faction, which was one of mine. And in my book, I have a postman named Mike. And as I was going through the writing of it, I kind of had to create the character, and I thought of this one post guy in my post office, and didn't know if his name was Mike, but he had a name tag that was M. Marion, it was the name on his name tag.
Okay.
So anyway, I go through and write the whole book. I mean, get it, do the self-publishing and everything, and then probably go for 6 months without even, thinking about him, really, other than the fact of every time I went to the post office and saw him, I kind of smiled. Because in my book, I talk about the character's struggles, and I wasn't sure I wanted him to know that I was kind of projecting these struggles onto someone. So, but anyway, one day, again, 6 months later, I noticed his name tag and it had changed and it was Mike. And I thought, oh God, I'm going to have to tell him and show him, the book. So I gave him a book. And he just thought that was the greatest thing. And then the next day I went back and one of his coworkers, I was in line with one of his coworkers, he says, you just don't know what you did. All day he was going around telling everybody, look at me, I got a whole chapter about me in a book.
That's the greatest feeling. Yeah,
it was good. It was good, and I just, again, hoped that he, because this Mike in my book was, going through some, challenging struggles of negativity. So I just, but anyway, never did find out from him, what he thought about it. But I guess that's not really, an important part of it. I guess it's really, that he had no idea, who I was,
right,
really, and what I did, I think that's one of the things, I guess also one of the things to get from your book is that, that we can create those moments with people every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we need to,
yeah.
I think we need to do more of that every day, you said, definitely.
Yeah. Well, now, after you went through this dream and you achieved it, what did it feel like kind of going back to a routine without it, having achieved what you had hoped? Did you feel differently or did, going back to, quote, the normal routine, was it normal after that?
Well, after dancing with the Raiders the one season and having such the rigorous schedule that we had, and then going back to, let's say, just working 40 hours and family life, et cetera, initially, to be honest, it was it was a relief. You know, it was
okay.
A little bit of break here. Even though I would have loved to have danced, I was only going to probably commit one more season. You shift back. You shift back to what you had just done, what you have accomplished. And then after, obviously, the following year flying out to Dallas, that's when I knew. I said, I'm done here. And even the folks in Dallas were like, oh, no, come back next year. I'm like, oh, no, I have a history of starting this pattern of I'll make it in 5 years, right, but I'm not going to continue to go that route. But you don't stop dreaming. That hasn't stopped me, obviously. I wrote the book, but even after writing the book, you find what that next chapter is. For me, it's motivational speaking, speaking with you today, Robert, just engaging your audience and hopefully getting around the world and just face-to-face having this discussion with folks. That's where I would like to see my future head, just to continue in power.
Yeah. Well, that's great because, I mean, you answered my next question, you know, as far as dreaming, you know, that you kind of, once one is achieved, you continue to dream. You create more and follow them and work toward that, correct?
Yeah, and you have to. I mean, you have to stay alive in the moment. You can't just, oh, that was a great moment and now it's over, because that could go through the depressed side of a dream. So you continue to think big and journey forward and see what that next big it is. I don't know what mine is, but it's coming. It'll be there. And in the meantime, just to inspire folks and have these interviews and get my book out. And I think my biggest thing is hearing back from folks that I know that share with me, hey, guess what? You motivated me to go pick up a piano again or go play, you know, soccer again. Those are the moments that just fill my heart now, is I have made a difference and I am making a difference.
Yeah. That's one of the things that's just so wonderful to be able to, I mean, that's, you know, that was really the whole idea behind my show is, you know, it's to inspire people, you know, to inspire people to do something better, something for them that they wouldn't, and but presenting people like yourself, you know, as a prime example of, you know, what that's like to, you know, to follow your dream. And so, yeah, so now that you've kind of gone through that, the process of trying out and failure and success, what's your view of failure? I mean, is there in your mind a failure?
You know, and I kind of answer that somewhere in my book. Failure to me is not showing up. It's going back to that what if. What if that next day I had not gone to something that I had desired and thought about, oh, shoot, that could have been the year. Look, I probably might have had a chance. That's the failure, is if you don't show up. I don't think anyone fails if you show up to anything. If you show up and give anything your all, that's accomplishment. And as many people have told me throughout my, you know, trying out for all these audition teams, Susie, do you realize just say you've gone to one of these auditions, how big that is just in itself, let alone ever making a team, right? Just how many women don't ever even have the nerve to show up to one of these things? And it's like, oh, that's kind of unfortunate. You know, like, I would hope more, you know, in any aspect. For me, it's the, you know, professional dancing. But, failure to me is if you don't listen to that inner voice, you don't act upon it, you know.
Yeah.
Rejection's going to happen. I guarantee I would probably was never going to make any of these teams year one, and possibly I never was going to make any of the teams, period. But who's to say I wouldn't have still probably wrote the book and still inspired my kids and still made an impact in the world. And that's why, again, I think the media world just took the story so big, was, oh, my God, this lady, she actually did and did and did and didn't give up. And oh, now she's a grandmother and she finally made it. And I think if there's anywhere in my book I don't talk about enough, is the accomplishment of the moment I did make the team and I did live the dream, you know.
Why is that?
I think that's where you just don't want to become too self-imposed about yourself necessarily, right?
Uh-huh.
I know those feelings.
Yeah.
I know those emotions. Maybe just keep those. But that was probably the highest high of all highs, was, wow, I really made this happen. It wasn't just, oh, she's going to try and try, and then one year she's going to be done trying. She did it. And, it was remarkable.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's interesting because, I mean, you know, for many people, you know, the achieving that long-sought-after dream, I know many people who just, you know, who talk about it for days and days and years afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, to me, from, you know, listening to you, looking at the topics in your book, to me it seems like it's really more the journey than it was the destination of getting there, achieving it.
Yes, and that's pretty much the whole end of my book right there is, you know, sure, the destination is dynamite, but it's that journey, it's that climb, shoot, it's that tumble, fall back down, picking yourself up, you know, read a little bit about, you know, the obstacle of a teenage pregnancy, what we went through there and how I kept that strength and said, okay, but I'm going to go back on to my target here of what I'm trying to do. It is the journey. And again, you don't know it while you're living it. You really don't know it until you sit down and write it in print and figure it out.
Yeah. One of the things that we really can, really take, you know, from that book is maybe to focus more on the journey. So do you think, now you said that you wrote this kind of like after the fact. Do you think that, have you continued to write? And do you think maybe writing as the journey occurred might have been of a benefit to maybe highlight, you know, the value of what you were experiencing at that time?
No, I mean, it never even crossed my mind during, because you didn't see it as a journey. I mean, I never at that moment saw each year, right, as a journey. You just, hey, next year I'm going to go out to this audition again. But in 2010, the year prior to the Raiders, and I haven't talked too much on this, I had tried out for an indoor football team, semi-pro team. And even doing that, it's like, shoot, usually these ladies are a little bit younger than the ones in the NFL. But there I was like, oh, let me try. And I did make that team year one. And forever grateful for my director for that moment, because that's really when the dream happened of becoming a professional dancer. But it was at the end of that season, the teenage pregnancy. And it was like, wow, I just lived a moment, and now I've got this huge obstacle. I mean, literally, it was, I think we had two games left when I found out on the news about my daughter. And I talk about that through the book. I talk about, not in great depth about the pregnancy, but just as a family, the obstacles we went through there. So if any book I might ever write in the future would be more in depth of that experience, teenage pregnancy. I don't think there's a lot of positive books out there on how a family can get through that scene and that ordeal. I do plan to write a children's book someday for my granddaughter, because I would like to dedicate a book to her. So I think in my mind there's a few remaining books that were related to walking this journey. But hindsight, looking back, no, I'm really glad I waited till it was all done. And
okay.
Because I've been really able to capture some really special moments on this side of it.
Yeah, well, it's good. Well, you know, I have a special line of programming called the Children's Corner, and I have quite a few guests on who have written children's books, and many times, you know, it's for their grandkids, you know, to pass on kind of a positive message, you know, something, you know, that they've lived. So if you ever get to that point, like, keep me in mind. I'd love to have people on, and I still do have people on that talk about their children's books and the whole illustration process and that kind of thing. So that's kind of a fun thing. And, you know, and also in regard to the one with, you know, the teen pregnancy, you know, and kind of going through that, you know, that's, you know, that is, gosh, that's something that is really so important, you know, right now, because they're really, like you say, there isn't much out there that can provide a positive, supportive perspective of that challenge. You know, and that's what seems sometimes really to throw women, young women, teen women off course, you know, from, you know, when that occurs.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then there's the legal side. There's so many different legal parts that come in per state when it comes to that situation that, again, you know nothing about this until you're under that umbrella of a situation. And it's like, wow, there's a lot of stuff out here that I don't think anybody knows. And so why not maybe put it out on print and at least if I can just help another family live through it the way we did and know that in the end, rainbow does come. You know, our daughter graduated high school early. She's works for American Red Cross currently as a phlebotomist the last few years, and I have a beautiful granddaughter. So it all works out in life, you know.
Yeah.
Stay positive.
Yeah, but, that's good. Well, you know, it's really important. Well, gosh, you know, Susie, we're down to the last few minutes here, so our hour has flown by, and I appreciate it. So I guess if there's any maybe final messages you would like to provide to the listeners, and maybe, you know, who do you think would be like the ideal person, you know, to read your book? You know, if someone is out there and there's someone in their life, you know, who do you think would benefit most from reading your book?
You know, Robert, like I said before, I think everybody. I don't think I have one particular audience type. You know, I say women in particular, but that's narrow-minded. I think men have just as many dreams and inner voice thoughts as we do. So everybody. And my big message there is you listen to the voice and you try, never give up. And when it's meant to happen and when the journey is supposed to take place, it will. But in the end, recognize the path you walked, journey walked, and pay it forward to the future. Like I am now, it's just now to motivate everyone else and bring hope to others.
Well, that's great. You know, and we need more people like you. That's for sure.
So,
now,
I hope so.
I did notice that you're on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. So, and people can follow you on all of those, correct, through your webpage, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, great. Well, I know that we're connected now on Facebook and Twitter, so I'm looking forward to following your continued journey there. So, but I want to thank you for your time. I really enjoyed speaking with you and hope that we've provided some inspiration for listeners to follow their dreams no matter what.
Absolutely. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate you having me on your program today.
It is my pleasure. And again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Susie Sanchez. She is author of The Dream Lived, a memoir. And again, you can find out more about Susie by visiting her website, which is about.me/Susie.Sanchez. And that's S-U-S-I-E. Sanchez. Again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again. Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me, that's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Bite Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.